Welcome to another podcast from the Chapter House, a gathering place for teaching and other interesting conversations from the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. A chapter house is a room or a building attached to a cathedral where meetings are held. In monastic communities, the monks would meet there to read aloud from the Bible or discuss theology. Come on in to the Epiclesis Chapter House. Our next gathering is just about to begin. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, folks, welcome to another edition of Teaching from the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of that their group. And one of the things I get to do is interview wonderful people. And I have one by the magic of technology today with me. Her name is Kathy Lipp. She is a best-selling author of 20 books and all sorts of other wonderful stuff. And best of all, she's going to come up this way and do a retreat for our women. But the main thing is first to say, Kathy, welcome and so glad you could join us.
Chris, thanks so much for having me on. And I can't wait to be with all the women of your church. From the small sampling I've encountered, it's going to be a great weekend.
Well, I know it will be. There's already a real buzz about it, I have to tell you. Folks are really looking forward to it. And so I know it's going to be a delight. I really do. Kathy, I think maybe the best thing to do to get started would be just dive in a little, would you, and tell folks about you and what makes you tick and let us hear about some of the 827 wonderful things that I see in your bio.
Well, I would say the top two things you should know are that I love Jesus and I am the world's biggest fangirl for my husband, Roger. So like that's a great place to start. I think one of the interesting things of our story is Roger and I have been married for 20 years. That's not super interesting to most people.
Well, it is. No, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Next month will be our 20th anniversary. We're a blended family. But I think one of the most interesting things is we both lived in Silicon Valley for a really long time. He moved here from Florida. And about, I would say, 7 years ago, we just decided to chuck it all and move to the mountains, kind of between Lake Tahoe and Sacramento.
Yeah.
And we went from being, you know, all tech all the time, and we're still pretty techy up here, but now raising chickens on a bunch of acreage and growing a garden and just doing life a little bit differently. And people think this is our retirement plan. No, we're both working full time. He works for a Fortune 50 company, and I'm a writer and speaker. But our kids called it our midlife crisis. But we've never been happier, and we love it up here. It's been such an adventure.
By the way, if you're doing chickens, I know you're terribly busy. Those little rascals take a lot of care and comfort, I understand.
They do, especially when my husband built them a palace, because we've had chickens before, and you know there are 1,000 things up here trying to kill them.
Right.
So we have a fortress now, which I think people have built houses in less time than he built that chicken coop, but I'm grateful for it. I sleep easy at night.
So what's coming in the garden right now? Nothing, I guess. You're planting, right?
Not much. Yeah, we have a much shorter season up here because we can get snow until Mother's Day. They say you can't plant anything until there are snow on the dogwoods. So the dogwoods have to be here. We're very much newcomers up here. People have lived up here for generations. And so we finally learn, listen, because every time we try to plant something early, we can't. But our basil's doing really well. We planted a bunch of seedlings. So Roger just said some of our tomatoes are starting, not the fruit, but you know, the plants are doing really, really well. Cucumbers. So we're going to have a salad here pretty soon. And we've got some garlic and onions that we planted over the winter, and we've got some carrots. So yeah, we've got some stuff going. It's about 2% of our food each year is grown in our garden, but it's fun. We love it.
Kathy, you're an author, and I know you also are something of a media personality. You might not call yourself that, but I've seen you all over the place, and I would love for you to share with folks a little bit about your books and also some of the many presentations and appearances that you have on various social media and also traditional media.
Yeah, it's so funny because when you sign up to become a writer, you never think YouTube or TikTok. But, you know, those are places that if we want our message to go places, if we want God's message to go places, we have to show up where the people are. And the people are on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these places that
My kids laugh, you know, that I'm on TikTok more than they are. But I think it's been such an interesting journey. So a couple of my main messages that I talk about, I really started talking off about marriage. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of things. My first book, which still is my most popular book today, is called The Husband Project. And men used to get very upset and I'd get these terrible letters, but I'm like, just read the subtitle, Loving Your Man with Purpose and on Purpose and with a Plan. But I think where I've really kind of settled is this space of overwhelm for modern women.
Which we should say is the theme for our women's retreat, overwhelm.
Yes.
And you know what? I'll bet there's not maybe never, but I'm sure there are very few women out there who would not say that they are overwhelmed.
Right. Absolutely. And I think a lot of men as well. It just shows up in very different ways. But as our lives have gotten in many ways easier for us with modern conveniences. And, you know, I'm the first one to say, thank God for a vacuum, a dishwasher, a car, my cell phone. But as things have gotten a little bit easier, they haven't gotten simpler. Things have gotten a lot more complex. And so how do we manage that? And while things feel like they're getting expensive, you know, I remember my mom talking about saving up for a month for a sweater that she wanted.
Wow.
And when you look at what portion of our income goes to the things in our house, it's easy to understand why we've become overwhelmed with clutter. And that's a big thing that I understand. My father was a hoarder, and I've had to reckon with this idea of how much is too much. And about 50% of the United States has to reckon with that idea as well. We are collectors. Yeah.
Well, I do want to get into the Clutter-Free Academy podcast that you do and some other related things, because they're very much tied in, I'm sure, with the overwhelmed feeling.
Yeah.
But I wanted to pick your brains about this half a second. You said that our technology is very advanced, and yet things have not gotten easier. Don't you think there's a parallel with communications? I mean, we've never been more connected, and yet in some ways don't really communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so interesting that we can, you know, I look at my husband, who is able to work entirely from home, which we are so, so grateful for. Mm-hmm. But it does mean that there's not the rubbing up of shoulders next to people. And we have to be so much more intentional with actually physically getting together with people.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, we got together with two of our friends, and I didn't realize how much I was missing humans until we did that. You know, it was like a fresh drink of water.
Yeah, because with a dog and eight chickens, you probably need a little human interaction other than Roger occasionally, right?
Yes, yes. And I'm so grateful. But this is also what I have learned, is that I have to be intentional about, where am I putting that time? Where am I spending that human interaction? Because we went to a concert over the weekend, James Taylor, you know, which was great. But to me, that doesn't count with being with humans, because it was just me and Roger. But we also live very remotely, and we have a lot of people who struggle up here in the mountains. And so one of the things Roger and I do is we volunteer. There's a local food bank here at a church that is local to where we live. And I love it so much, not just with the people who are coming in to be served, but also the people who are putting the food in the bag.
Yes.
And even though those relationships haven't gone deep, It is so joyful to be with people who are of common mind and common purpose. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Kathy Lipp. She's a writing and marketing coach. She's written 187 books. Well, maybe not that many, but we're going to talk about some of them. She has a particular bent for speaking to folks who are feeling overwhelmed and how that is related to maybe the stuff in our life. The reason I'm talking to her is because she's going to come up this way in June to lead a retreat for our women at Epiclesis. And by the way, Kathy, the reservations are flowing in, so we're really looking forward to that.
Oh, yay!
But let's jump in and talk a little bit more about this subject that you've written about. You've got a podcast about it, and I don't want the opportunity to pass without you sharing with folks how they can get in touch with you and have a look at your many wonderful resources. Let's do that, and we'll do it again a little bit later, but let's do that okay. Right now so we make sure we get that.
Well, my favorite way for people to connect with us is our free group. It's called Clutter Free Academy on Facebook. It's Kathy Lipp's Clutter Free Academy. But if you put in clutter free, you're going to find me. And if you struggle with clutter or overwhelm, there are about 16,000 women and a few brave men who are in that group. And we're all working on this together. And so people bring up the greatest topics and we work through them together and we get suggestions. It's a lovely place to be. It's absolutely free. We would love for you to join us over there.
And that's on Facebook once again. And we'll talk about these things as well. You've also written a number of books. And if people wanted to take a gander at the many titles that you've written, where would they do that, Kathy?
The best place to do it is probably at kathylipp.com. It's K-A-T-H-I-L-I-P-P, like peterpan.com. Mm-hmm. Or if I mention a book today, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place you love to buy books, they're available.
Wonderful. Well, folks, I have to tell you, you're going to want to go and browse these many places as I have getting ready for today, because there's just a load of material there. Kathy, I suppose the place to start may be with the most obvious one, at least to me, and that is having stuff around you. And I think I mentioned to you that one of my weird fascinations is with the show Hoarders. I'm not a hoarder, neither is my wife, but there's something about the psychology about that fascinates me. And I suppose the place to start is to say there are many correlations, I assume, between having stuff all around you and also being overwhelmed, and not to mention the clutter that may also be and the baggage, if you want to call it that, that people are working through in their spirits.
You know, I think about it this way. We are, and I don't mean to bag on us humans in 2025, but we've been given some unique to this time challenges. And I just think the distraction is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
There are a million ways to entertain ourselves. And let me be clear, I'm not like underhandedly saying, you know, we're just the here's the thing. I love to be entertained. I love to go to a concert. I love to watch a movie. I love all of that. And we have, I'll say I have, and I know many of the people who I work with and coach with have lost the ability to be quiet.
Absolutely. And by the way,
yeah,
I should just say, as a worship and theology guy, that shows up in our corporate worship as well. People are very uncomfortable with silence. And I'm on a one-person crusade, at least, to try to inject silence back into worship. Sorry, that's an aside, but that's one of my real interests.
Well, it is something that I am having to confront and sit with myself. You know, when you start to unravel a problem, and for me, it was clutter, you start to discover all these other problems sitting underneath it. And let's call it challenges. I don't know that anybody has ever come to me and said, you know what my challenge is? I cannot sit in silence for any amount of time. But what people have told me is I have the hardest time sitting down to read my Bible, or I have the hardest time sitting down to pray.
Yeah.
And I get it. Even 200 years ago, if you wanted to listen to music, you had to be where musicians were. And now we have a magic box in our pocket where we can listen to music at any point in our lives. Because silence can often be uncomfortable.
Sure.
But I also know silence is where God does some of his most pointed talking to me. And I need to be in this practice of silence. So as you start to deal with the clutter, you realize, okay, well, I have not only a lot of stuff around me, but I have a lot of noise around me.
Wow.
And so now I need to deal with that. And you just keep digging down and digging down. But here's the beautiful thing. It starts with one decision about not keeping something just in case, or not keeping something just because somebody else gave it to you. And so you start to make those decisions and you get stronger for the next level of decisions.
And by next level, do you, sorry to interrupt, but just by next level, do you mean that which metaphorically you may also be hanging on to just because? Is that what you're...
Absolutely. Relationships that you know are not serving you or serving the other person. Or maybe it's a job that you've stayed in out of fear. Or maybe it's a pattern or a habit that the rest of the world would be like, oh, that's no big deal. But you know that it is not healthy for your soul. And I want to be in that quiet place where I can hear the whispers of God that say, that's not for you, and to be able to respond to that.
Well, I want to talk about some practical things related to that, but it occurs to me when you were talking about hanging on to things because you might need them later, that's my words, not yours. It reminded me of this hysterical series of little clips on YouTube or somewhere where a father and son have done this really humorous content, and they're working on a project together, and the son says, what we need is a piece of wood that's shaped like this, that's nailed to something like this, and the father gets kind of an aha moment. And he goes, have you seen this tearing off?
I have seen it.
Tearing off
it.
To the garage, and he finds this stupid thing. And it's like this great victory. But in real life, that really never happens, at least not often.
I think about it this way. I moved out of a house a little over 20 years ago, and I got rid of thousands of things.
I'm sure.
And there was only one thing I regretted giving away. It was this silverware holder. And it doesn't matter why it was, I'm like, I wish I would have kept that. And then I started to regret everything I gave away. And I'm like, no, Kathy, you know what? You can find another silverware holder, but you have let go of all this stuff. And I'm sure that that guy's workshop is jammed to the gills. Yeah. And I'm shocked that he could find that one piece. Yeah, I am absolutely shocked.
I don't think it happens in real life.
I know that we look at Hebrews 12 and we look at that in a spiritual way, throwing off everything that hinders us.
Yes.
But Jesus spoke so much of money and possessions in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So much. And yes, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I really believe God knew we were going to struggle with our stuff.
You know, one of the things you need to offer in your resources is a painting of that great cloud of witnesses cheering on the person who's throwing out old newspapers.
Yes.
Old carburetors and, you know.
Whatever. Oh, my goodness. Right. Yeah. And then I think about the generational impact. You've probably seen this commercial where the son and father are standing in front of a garage that is just packed to the gills. And the dad says, someday this will all be yours. And you see the look on the son's face like, no, because it may be precious to you, it's precious to nobody else. And that son's junk is going to be precious to him and to nobody else. And so we have to throw those things off.
So what you're saying there actually is that generationally and or maybe some other demarcations as well, that the junk changes, but the underlying issues really don't, right? Because
it's so true.
Mom and dad, they might have collected medicine bottles, and to their grandchildren, they may be collecting Disney films on VHS that they watched as a child, but it still is hanging on to junk and may have some underlying issues.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you use it, love it, and would buy it again, it's not junk. But most of us have our treasures in boxes in the garage. We can't even remember what it is.
That's right.
And so that's the stuff that weighs us down mentally, emotionally, sometimes physically too.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with the wonderful Kathy Lipp. She's coming our direction at Epiclesis to lead a women's retreat in June, and it's about being overwhelmed. Kathy's a Publishers Weekly bestselling author of 20 books, including An Abundant Place, Daily Retreats for Women Who Can't Get Away, Overwhelmed, and Clutter Free, and a number of resources along those lines. You were mentioning earlier, Kathy, that maybe something tied really closely into these issues is the inability to be still or to be silent. Do you have some practical things that you talk with your retreatants and other folks you speak to about? I mean, really practical, rubber meets the road kind of ways to be still and quiet.
For me, everything needs to be scheduled. And if I just say, okay, well, I'll do it when I have time, time never magically appears on my calendar. I actually have to put it away. And so many days I have a time where I go downstairs, I just kind of start the laundry, do the dishes. I'm privileged to work at home, so I can do those kind of things. And then I've got 15 minutes where I am doing whatever feels right that day. So sometimes it is just sitting in silence. Sometimes it is getting into the word. Sometimes it's praying. And I just spend about 15 minutes wherever God wants to take me that day. And that it was a struggle.
I'll bet. I was going to say, I bet you really had to train, if that's even the right word, to work at doing that.
It was painful. You know, when you say, oh, okay, I'm going to start exercising, and after the
Actually, I've never said that.
You know, let me recount my experience. I'll never forget the first time I said, I'm going to go running. And that night, when I had to use the restroom, I was crawling there because I'm like, what is happening to my feet? Well, that was my introduction to plantar fasciitis. You know, I didn't work my way up. So I had to start with 1 minute. I'm going to be silent for 1 minute. And then I could build it up. And now I'm at a place where for about 20 minutes, and I actually set an alarm because I have a job. I have things I need to do. And I also know that this too shall end. And there are days where it's like, okay, I need this to end. And there are other days like, oh, this is what I have been practicing for. This is the sweetness. So not every day is everything I want it to be, but it's a practice. So I put it on my schedule. I make myself really, really cozy. I allow myself to have like a drink or something there so I can stay in the moment. And I have a couple of books that if I want to be meditating on scripture, I can grab my Bible or I can grab a devotional and look at that. And it's become rich time. But like I said, it's not always perfect. The other thing I would say is, especially for people who live with others, you're not making a show of it, but just saying, you know what, unless somebody's bleeding or something's on fire, give me these 15 minutes. Just give me these 15 minutes. And I know not everybody can do that, especially if they have little ones, but a lot of us can, and we can train. We don't just have to train ourselves. We have to train the people around us. And
wow,
it's okay.
Hold on. That's a good, you need to say that one again. That's important.
It's so true, though, because we're training our own hearts. But, you know, maybe this is new for you. So it's also new for the people you live with. So training ourselves, training those around us to say, I am going to be a better human being if I can have these 15 minutes. And when I was doing this, when my kids were younger, I would physically just drive to the school early and sit in my van. It was the only way I knew how to get those 15 minutes. So we just have to be creative. We're all creative beings. We can figure this out.
That's really well said. A little flashback just happened when you were talking. I remember we went through a parenting course. It did absolutely no good whatsoever, but we tried. We really did. And
A for effort.
Yeah. There was something called, actually, this was part of the Five Love Languages guy stuff. You talk about couch time, that mom and dad need to be seen by the children as carving out time for them to be together. And you have to train the kids like you said, unless you're, mm-hmm. unless your brain matter is spilling out your ears, mom and I've got to have this time together. And a similar thing's going on here, right? You need to, mm-hmm. not in a pompous sort of, I am now Brother Lawrence kind of way, but,
right.
but to say, hey, this is important time and I'm going to train my spouse or family about that.
Yeah. Don't interrupt me washing pots. This is my Jesus time. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind. And if it's not all come together, that's good too. But when you come up here for the retreat, and you might want to also talk about past retreats or similar experiences.
Yeah.
But exactly what can people look forward to and what kinds of things are you going to be talking about?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about different versions of overwhelmed. So overwhelmed by life circumstances.
Okay.
Overwhelmed by things external and internal. I have a senior adult parent, mm-hmm. and she's doing great right now, but also fell a couple of weeks ago. And she was fine, but she couldn't get up. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't so fine.
Right.
And so we've got that we're worrying about. I've got adult kids. And
they never leave, do they, Kathy? Really?
They don't. They don't. But you know what? I'm personally glad because I know a lot of my friends who are really struggling with their adult kids. And right now, thank God, we are in a good place. But I also know it takes time and attention to curate those relationships and be present for them. And then we have our community here. So it can be overwhelming sometimes. And I want to talk about what are the things that are overwhelming us, what does scripture have to say, and what are some really, really practical things that we can do about it. And
glad to hear the practical side of it. I am. It's marvelous.
Who was more practical than Jesus? I mean, really, he shot straight, right? He said, you need to go do this. There wasn't always a lot of explanation. Just go do this. And your life and other people's lives will be better. You'll be closer to me if you go do this. And the heart of the retreat is when we do what scripture says, it can initially seem overwhelming, but this is the path to joy and peace. And so even if you're like, I don't understand the way forward, we've got a lot of people in our lives that we can look to for inspiration and instruction on how to live with less overwhelm and how to live with more peace and more joy, even in some tough circumstances. So that's where my heart sits. That's what I want people to leave with on Sunday afternoon.
Wow. It occurs to me to ask, this may seem like a silly question, but I'm going to jump in anyway. Is it possible that on the road to being less overwhelmed, the start of it may seem overwhelming? And so somebody might recoil against that at first.
Let's go back to that whole exercise thing, right? Because, the most overwhelming thing in the world. But then as you're building those muscles, right, when the circumstances call for it, I can go for a long walk. I can lift heavy things. I am healthier. And I am no example of virtue when it comes to exercising. But I know that when I start, it's going to be terrible. And that's why we don't start. And that's why we don't have hard conversations about our overwhelm. And to say, you know what? I've loved being a part of this organization, or I've loved this kind of work I've been doing, or I've loved serving in this way. But I know it's so hard to have those clarifying conversations that say, I'm being pulled in a different direction now. And so, yes, those first things, I hate confrontation. I hate having hard conversations. I want people to like me. You know, I'm just being honest here. This is just how I'm built.
Sure.
And so the path to freedom is painful at first. I recently backed out of some things that I've been doing for a while. And I wake up and I'm like, I don't have to do that because I'd been dreading it for years and I was serving out of obligation.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we do things because there is a need. And then other times there are other people to fill that need. Sometimes they're not. But sometimes there are, and we want to give other people that opportunity. But yeah, it's painful at first, but once you get a taste of that feeling of not being overwhelmed, you can't go back. You have to keep walking forward in health.
Oh, that's wonderfully said. One more question occurs to me before I let you go, and that is, so let's say somebody does overcome the initial overwhelming feeling of going on the road not to be overwhelmed anymore. I can imagine, and just set me straight if I'm wrong, but I can imagine that many people would say, oh, yeah, and I'm overwhelmed, and they can easily name, say, the top little crust. They can easily name two or three things, but I'll bet you that you're wonderfully good at saying, yeah, but let's look a little deeper. Let's look a little differently. Yeah. Do you find that that's the case?
Yeah, I think that many of us, you know, we're walking forward in this, but we're walking with a limp. And we've gotten used to the limp, right?
Right. And accommodated it with the other leg.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And so when we start, like we were talking about before, when you start to get rid of some of those possessions, you start to see that that wasn't the only thing that was overwhelming you. Mm. You start to see that that wasn't the only thing that was demanding your attention. And one thing that I've noticed, and this isn't very popular sometimes with other people, people love our limps, because so often we have accommodated things that are not healthy.
Yeah.
And I am chief among sinners, right? I have done this over and over and over again. And I do it because I don't want to make people disappointed in me. But here's what I know. When I am so worried about what other people think, and I am not more concerned about where does Jesus want me to sit in all of this?
Wow.
That I am going to continue to be out of alignment. Mm. And I never want to be out of alignment. I never want to be out of alignment with God's purpose and call on my life. And so it makes people uncomfortable when you have to say no, when you have to say that's not going to work. People want an answer to their problem. But also I know this, that if I am doing what God has called me to do, then I am going to experience that joy and peace that passes understanding. And that's where I want to be.
Oh, that's beautifully said. I love that phrase. People learn to love me for my limps or need me to do that. Hey, maybe that's a next book title. I'm not limping anymore or something like that.
Exactly. And here's the funny thing, Chris. I actually do walk with a limp. And I really do. And it's so funny because people will say, I've never noticed that before. And I forget about it because I've lived with it for so long. And, you know, I'm doing the exercises and everything. Thing. But because it's been coming on for years, it's going to take years to go away. But I know that I'm doing the right things for my healing in that. And that gives me the stamina to go on. And that's what I want in my spiritual life as well. Mm.
You're a delight. I've had such fun with this conversation. Folks, well, go ahead.
The best questions. Oh. And, like, I have to ask, do you have like a history in radio?
Yes, I did have a radio program, and we don't anymore here in Sacramento, but I do love talking to people. I really do.
I was going to say, you have the perfect voice and the perfect questions for radio. I knew there had to be something there.
Folks, I've been talking to the wonderful Kathy Lipp. She is a best-selling author. She's a writing and marketing coach. She has a wonderful husband, I understand, named Roger, a dog and 8 chickens, and she lives in the California foothills. And she's coming our way just outside Sacramento for a women's retreat. The dates are June 2022. And if you're listening to this and have a hankering and there's space, we'd love to have you, ladies, if you're interested. And you can get in touch with us through the epiclesis.org website. That's epiclesis.org. Kathy, bless you.
Oh, Chris, what a great conversation. Thank you so much for inviting me on and spending the time. This has been wonderful.
Let's do it again sometime.
Sign me up.
I'd love to. Take care and blessings. And folks, until next time, as always, the Lord be with you.